Hello, this is Sierra London on the line for Women on Words. My co-host Zyla Turner is on the East Coast this week, while I'm in Reno, Nevada at the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention. And today, well, tonight, we have author, New York Times bestselling author, Paige Tyler with us. So I'm going to go ahead and welcome Paige on the line. Paige, you there?
Yes, I am here.
Awesome. It is so good to talk with you.
Okay. So let me just say this.
Okay.
Get back your life and just enjoy.
Okay. So let me just say this. I'm going to disconnect. So because Paige and I are actually sitting next to each other, so I'm going to walk away a little bit. But I met Paige back in 2015 at an RT convention. And you all know I've said before how RT has changed my life. And this is a prime example because I met Paige in 2015 at convention. And in 2016, she actually reached out to me about Kindle World that she was building based on her Dallas Fire and Rescue series. And for those of you who read me, you all know I wrote three books in that series, the Chasing Flames and Concealing Fire and Commanding Heat. And Paige, to me, and I've followed her since I met her all the way back in RT 2015. So Paige, tell us a little bit about your writing journey. When did you first get started?
I first got started in 2006, I think it was. And it was actually for, I was browsing online and I saw these sort of like e-books, but they were on a membership site. And you had a sort of, you would get a chapter like every week or a chapter every month. And I looked and I thought, I always wanted to be a writer. And I thought, you know, I could do that. So I tried that, and I got published, and then I moved from that small membership site to small press publishers, like Allura's Cave was one of those, and then I knew I wanted to get to New York, and for me, I guess I kind of wanted to be with New York for validation. You know, I guess that's how I felt, and even a little bit now, I still like to be with New York. So I said, okay, I have to have something that is going to grab somebody that's different in New York, so I was talking to another writer, and she's like, well, if you and your husband write together, do something that you are both good at and you both know, but it's unique to you. And he's retired military, so I thought, okay, well, we should do military then. But we love paranormal, so we're like, how about combining military with shifters? And that's how we got our first series in New York called the X-Up series. And then we just really love paranormal, so then we moved to werewolf shifters doing our SWAT series, Special Wolf Alpha Team series.
Awesome. Okay, let's unpack some of that you said. Okay, so first you're talking about co-writing, but you also mentioned different publishing houses, and you went on to New York. So I'm going to go back. So you were, for those of us who've been reading romance a lot, you know that, hey, you've had a lot of authors that we are still reading. But like what we're seeing even now in 2018, Allura's Cave was one of those publishing houses that came out like a juggernaut, and now they're closed. So tell me, how did you survive that emotionally, but also with your business as well?
Well, why did I decide to leave them? I'm having a hard time hearing on the phone, sorry. for me, I guess it was, I wasn't really going to write erotic anymore. That's where we started writing erotic. And I knew that they were going to close and they were spiraling down. And I really just wanted my books back. And that's where actually having an agent came in really helpful for us, because he was able to help us get our books back for a better price than I probably could have gotten them on our own. That said, I still had to pay to get my books back. But I wasn't going to say, okay, I'm going to release these and figure I'm going to make all that money back, or I'm going to make a ton of money back. I just figured, look, I'm going to put them out there, promo them very minimally, and see what happens. And I did put them out. I put, you know, some in a box set because it was easier that way, because they were very short. Allura's Cave sometimes is like 10,000-word stories. So you get a box set and you still get like a 40,000 or 45,000-word story for somebody. And it's hard because I know everybody's like, oh my God, this publisher's going under, or this publisher doesn't want that now. And especially the small press ones, they do, but you just kind of got to roll with it and go on to the next thing. Because if you don't adapt publishing, you are going to be in big trouble.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with you. And I've only been in this industry for a short period of time, but I do have an appreciation for how flexible we have to be, even though, the industry is changing around us. I feel like you always have to have a plan for how you are going to, adapt in this industry. And it's nice to have writers like you who are relatively social, because we're an introverted group, that still, come to events like RT and tap in and mentor newer authors in this industry like myself. Even now, we see changes that are happening. I want to talk to you about your innovation as well, because you and your husband are a writing team. Am I getting that right?
Yep.
Okay, so you both feed in on that. Now, is there a time in your writing when you all crafted a series where one of you all has to take a back seat, or is it always a collaborative process, especially since y'all live in the same house and, share the same life?
It is totally a collaborative process. However, he always says that, I sort of get like the creative control. So if it's like, I'm like, I kind of guide it. So how we work is we go to our favorite restaurant, P.F. Chang's, and we talk about what we're going to write for whatever book. Like, say you were mentioning Wolf Rising. So we would go there and the character, the hero, Brooks, and we would talk about Brooks' story and how he's going to fall in love with his heroine, Selena, and what's going to happen with them. And then on the way home from Chang's, which is like a 30-minute drive, I actually take all the notes down on the iPad on the way home, and we discuss what we talked about so we remember everything. And then he'll take that and sort of run with it, really like a really super rough draft. And each, at each section, I'll look at it and say, yeah, that's what we talked about, or whoa, this is not going in the right direction, we need to change this. So he always says, I have sort of like that creative control that I say, okay, we're doing this, or no, we're not doing that at all. And he knows me now, what I like and don't like. So sometimes if he puts stuff in, he'll figure she'll like this, or he's like, nope, I better not put that in, she won't like that. And then I take that really rough draft, and I go in and I polish it, and I put the emotions in, and the dialogue and everything like that.
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. Now, do you feel like, since you've been working, as a team for a while, I found that when I work with you on the Dallas Fire and Rescue Project, that you were really good with working with teams. Do you feel like a part of that dynamic with you and your husband always working together, does that translate into how you connect with other authors and with readers, just always having to have that kind of listening ear, considering your partner? How does that translate? Or have you always been that way, just kind of reaching out to other people, helping other people, connecting with your readers? Because you're at so many events.
I like to say I had a reader. A reader told me that I'm really user friendly, and for me, I really like people, and I like to be social, and I love to come to these events. But I also love to, writing can be a really solitary world, so you also want to connect with other people in your field. And I mean, I'm always like, oh, I want to help this author. And some people are like, I can't believe that you're like, you don't mind helping. And I'm like, well, somebody had to help me, and I always remember that someone, and it was Kate Douglas. And I'll never forget that when I was starting out, and I'm like, I don't know. I guess they call it the pay it forward thing, but I just like to be able to do that. So when I had Death by Rescue, I'm like, oh, this will be cool because then other writers can write in there, and I want them to be able to, get noticed. I was hoping that it would be a promo thing for most of them, and I think it was, because a lot of people seem to have a really good experience with it, so...
Yeah, and I can tell you, Zyla and I talk about this all the time, like how much we learn writing in your world and working with you and seeing how you work with the team. I mean, I wrote 3 books in that world. Zyla wrote 1 book, Hazardous, in that world, and I referred her to you, which I think is a testament to how well how good it is working with an author like you that still allows us to be creative in your world. So kudos to you. I think that's pretty cool when an author is recommending an author and recommending an author and so forth and so on. You know, that doesn't always happen, you know.
I really love to do that. I mean, it's fun, especially if I read something, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to tell people about this book or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You can see what happens when people, I think, don't want to be like that. That's not, you know, you kind of see it around. I mean, so that's not a good thing. I always like to help. So I'm always like, if you see me at a conference, come up to me and say hi. I'll be the one with the plush wolf.
All right. Now, next question. What sold you on Kindle World when you decided to be one of the authors to launch a world? Was it like, oh, yeah, you immediately saw the vision, or you were looking for something like a Kindle World? How did you get involved with this Amazon initiative or venture?
Well, actually, I wrote in Kat Johnson's Kindle World first, and when you are – I don't even know if they even have still done it this way toward the latter part of it, but you used to be able to talk to the Amazon rep for Kindle World. And it's kind of like, whoa, I could have like sort of a leg in maybe with Amazon talking to him. And he was really open, and I just asked him. So, you know, I have theories that I would love to, you know, people to be able to write in, because I think they're really great characters, and I think their readers would enjoy them, and my readers would enjoy their stories. And we just talked about it, and he was like, well, just give me a proposal idea for what you have, and I did, and I remember, because it was like before, I think it was like Thanksgiving weekend, and he had called, and he was like, okay, you know, your world's a go. So I was super excited.
Yeah, I think it's a fabulous world. I love creating in your world, and I still get readers asking me what is next coming out in that series. So I'm excited about where we're going to go from here, because like you said, things are always always changing. So, do you have any predictions for our industry, for the romance industry? Where do you think we're headed? What's the next big thing, if there is such a thing?
Oh my God, that's such a hard question, because I always think that. Probably the when you think predictions is stuff's going to keep evolving and changing. I think like audiobooks, I guess they were big, not too big a little while ago, and now they seem so much bigger, you know. Guess indie's still going to keep going strong. I think that I would hope that there's going to be a lot more New York publishers open to people being hybrid authors. It's unusual sometimes to find a publisher like that. Fortunately, mine is. But I think that I kind of hope that's what we see, a lot more publishers saying, hey, let's be open to having some hybrid authors, you know, and try to work with them instead of against them.
Okay, that's nice. And the reason why it's so interesting to me coming from you is because a lot of your career has been traditionally based, like traditionally published. And so it's nice to hear someone that kind of started in that venue, who ventured out, especially with your Dallas Fire and Rescue series, where you welcomed other authors in, some of us indie, some of us traditional, to speak so well of both. So I do appreciate you saying that, as someone who started the opposite way. I started indie and then started moving into traditional. So I want to, since we're at a reader event, tell me what you as the author get out of coming to reader events like Romantic Times.
I don't know. I think it's just hanging out with people who are like-minded, who love romance, because sometimes I know when I'm out and about, people sometimes give you the side eye when you say you write romance, you know? I think it's just so much fun to come and hang out with people who love romance as much as, you know, I do, and they want to talk about it. And it's just like kind of immersing yourself all in books for the whole week or the whole weekend, whatever the event happens to be.
Yeah. Now, does your husband have the same take on it? Like, does he get it, like being around all the giddy women and some of us are in costume? I mean, there's a man here too, but what's his take?
No, he is really comfortable with that, because, like I said, originally when we wrote Erotic, and when you sometimes, I think because when we first went to conferences, readers would not feel comfortable talking around him because the books were erotic. So he would kind of hang in the background. But now we write, romantic suspense, paranormal romantic suspense, romantic suspense. They're still steamy, but not erotic. It's easier. And actually, readers think it's so cool. They're like, oh, you write together. And they're like, that is so cool. So it kind of gives you something like different for them to remember you for, you know, that, oh, it's so cool that you write together, you know, and they're always like, how does that work? And so, no, he's really, really comfortable with it. He's really good about that because he is also a huge reader. Right now, he's down at the other end of the hall reading on his iPhone. So he's reading.
I see him.
He reads like all the time. So, I mean, that's kind of a good thing, even though I'm like, oh, you're reading again, aren't you? Or we're doing something. I'm like, hey, we got to do this. So, but it's good because he does like to read. So he understands, you know, how people can get excited about books because, you know, he grew up like that. You know, he's a huge urban fantasy and fantasy, you know, background. But even so, he said the best urban fantasy to him are the ones that have the romance in. So he's really good about wanting to add that into the story. You know, he's not like, well, I don't want to touch that. Because even the romance part, we build that together, you know. Because I like to have some nice, how would a guy think? He's also really good at saying, how would a guy think about it? But how would a guy think about it for a woman reading it? You know, because there's a difference.
Yeah.
A guy writing just a romance straight sometimes wants to write guy things. And we're like women. We don't want to read that. We want to read guys, but we want to read guys. You know, if that makes sense?
Yes. Yes, I totally understand. Now, if you don't mind me asking, can you name a few of the authors that you all read? Like, who do you like to read?
He is a huge Jim Butcher fan. So he's very upset because the series, Harry Dresden series, is sort of coming to an end.
Yes.
And he also loves Diana Rowland because he loves zombies. So she writes White Trash Zombie series, which he loves, which is also she's finishing, and he's very upset about that. So for me, I am right now on a huge new adult thing. I love some new, now not all new adult, but I do like certain authors. Like right now I'm reading by Gigi Andrew. I was reading on the plane out, and I'm like, oh, my God, I love her book. She has one called, it's like her Halloween series. I think it's called, It's Jaded Bearded Wolfish. And it's just, and I'm like, oh, my God, I love this book. I'm telling my husband as we're on the way, and I'm like, I love her books. I also love Suzanne Brockman and Helen K. Dimon. Those are kind of my go-tos when I read.
And
Mary Frame.
So
I have to mention her because she lives out here.
Okay, all right. So you actually will read some of what you write, because I know I've heard when I first joined this industry, I got the advice, don't read what you write. And I write primarily romantic suspense and contemporary romance. So what's your take on that?
You know, I heard people say that too, and I don't know if that's – I think maybe some people say that because, well, I don't want to be influenced or I don't want to feel like I might, you know, what if I put something in that I read? But I don't know. I kind of think our voice is our voice. I mean, like, I love reading Suzanne Brockman's Troubleshooters, but I'm not going – our books are not like that. Even, like, our Seals of Coronado are not like that, you know. So I think you can't really – you're not going to, I mean, I think sabotage your own voice by saying, if you like something, you should read it. Like when I was a teen, I've like read every historical romance out there, but I kind of sort of, I think your tastes change, you know, a little bit. And I'm like, no, I feel like reading to adult now, or no, I feel like reading romantic suspense, you know? I don't know. If you read it, I mean, if you like it, you should read it. I don't think, cause you could be missing out on the really great series or book just because you said, well, I can't read that cause I write in that, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, you do you read any nonfiction page, or are you mainly a fiction reader?
I do not. I'm totally a fiction reader. I don't read any nonfiction unless it happens to be. This is crazy because I'm a huge sports fan, so that's when I read nonfiction. It happens to be like going on ESPN or CBS Sportsline or something like that, so I can read about sports stuff, but I don't really read like craft books or anything like that, if that's what you were asking. I know a lot of authors do, and I probably feel bad admitting I don't. I just have never really been into reading, you know, I guess the craft books. I kind of like everything I felt I picked up actually learning how to write, it seemed like, from reading other fiction books, reading romance books. I learned how to write romance by reading romance.
Right. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think sometimes this can be a very scary journey, because we're a very welcoming community. And so with that, you know, you get a lot of advice from everyone, because everybody's so willing to share. But I think it's nice mm-hmm. that you shared in your process, like, you don't have to, the way you learn craft is by reading what you love to read. And
right.
and that's a method, too. You know, if you're a classroom person, that's great. If you're get the craft text down and read it, that's great, too. But if you're one of those people that learn by doing, you know, I want to write romance books,
right.
I read romance books, and I write romance books, I think that's important, too, to give yourself that freedom. And along with that, like, what advice would you give to aspiring authors? And there are a lot of them here.
Well, like I said, if you don't be afraid to, like I said, read something because, well, I can't read it to my genre. In a way, like you're saying, that's sometimes the best way to learn, by reading in that genre. I'm sorry, there's a guy here, and he's got like a, I have no idea. He's transporting something, so it might get loud. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But also, just, wait, let me go down here, away from him.
Okay.
Also, I think is just don't be afraid to keep writing. I mean, seriously, the first couple books that, you know, I mean, I wrote, I'm like, oh, my God, because I wanted to write this, and then I wanted to write that. And you shouldn't be afraid to make mistakes writing either. Just keep writing, because the only
okay.
way you're going to get better is to keep writing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? No, I totally get it. I agree with you. I go back sometimes and I read my first books, and I'm like, oh, I probably wouldn't do that now. I would probably do it this way,
right,
or
exactly.
say it that way. Yeah, and it's
exactly.
amazing how much, like, how I see character has evolved, how I craft dialogue has evolved, even what I share when you talk about
right.
putting emotion on the page. Like, all of those things, I think, have changed since when I wrote
mm-hmm.
my first book, probably even more so for you.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, it kind of, and you shouldn't be afraid. I mean, sometimes I look back and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed I wrote that. You know, even if it wasn't published, it was just something I just wrote, you know, I'm like, what was I thinking? But you know, that's the only way you learn is to do it. So you're not going to get better at it if
yeah.
you don't do it.
Yeah. Now, it sounds like in your career, you and your husband have had a lot of freedom. So, but you also mentioned agents, and so I want you to speak to that. How has it been working with agents? Is it, you know, yay, nay, or maybe when? When is the right time to work with an agent?
Well, like for us, I knew this was that. So we started like 2006, and it was about 2012. I said, you know, I really want to make the jump to New York, and. Yeah. The first book, like Exos, Her Perfect Mate, that first book, it's
mm-hmm.
very, it's a thriller too, so it's more, I guess it's a romantic suspense, but it's very thriller-like, and at first there were some romance agents who were like, I don't know, I love it, but I don't know where I can sell that, so I was sort of ready to like, okay, I'm done with this agent thing, and my husband said, why don't you try thriller agents, they might be more open. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'd already been, like, through 100 agents. So I'm like, okay. So I think it was, like, the 145th agent or something. And he signed us. And he was really good. You know, he got us the contracts and stuff. But at the point, maybe, I think we were with him for 6 years. And we just realized that we wanted to go in different directions. He wanted us to write something we didn't want to write. He wanted us to completely leave romance, and I didn't want to do that. My husband didn't want to do that because that's not what we're best at.
Okay.
I think we're best at putting the thriller and the romance together. So it's scary, but I really, at the first time, I think I realized when people said, hey, it's better to have no agent than a bad agent. And I don't know if he's necessarily a bad agent, but for us, he wasn't really, we weren't compatible anymore. So we made a decision, and it's kind of scary because you're like, oh, my God, I'm firing my agent. I'm going to be agentless. That's a scary proposition. And I'm like, I don't want to go through, you know, a gazillion agents again. And actually, as it worked out, the day I signed with him, the next day, this is back in 2013, I think, or 2012, another agent wanted to rep us, a romance agent, and I had already signed with him. And she said, well, if you ever part ways, think of me. You know, I'd love to represent you. So I said, and Paul, that's my husband's name. I said, okay, I'm going to call her because I had her number and everything. And I'm like, I'm going to call her and see what she says. And she actually, she said, remembered me. She remembered the books, and she was like, yes, I love, you know, we talked for like an hour and a half, and I really clicked with her and hit it off. And I realized that's the thing you need in an agent. You need to almost hit it off and click with them. It's not like, you know, people say, well, it's kind of like a marriage. But in a way, you are in a relationship with them. If you're in a, you know, a working relationship, so you want to click and hit it off. And I realized we did when I talked to her. And I realized I hadn't done that with the previous agent. So I was like, okay, I am super stoked to be with her now. So I'm really excited. We're meeting her for the first time in person here so this week. So I'm really excited.
Oh, wow. That is really, really cool. And that is great advice because I know sometimes authors get so when they don't get an agent. Like you said, I think it was the 145th agent. So I think that's really cool that's a testament to just, you know, stick to it. Stay with it. If that's what you really want, then make it happen for yourself. So as we begin to wrap up our interview, I do want to ask you, what is the funniest thing that's happened to you in this industry?
Oh, my God. You're just saying, no, I don't know, because I'm like, duh, I can't think of anything. Isn't that bad? The funniest thing. Oh, my gosh. I have no – isn't that bad? I can't even think of anything that's the funniest thing. Because, no, actually, I do have a funny story. Okay, of course, I have a PA who is also my bestie, and her name is Janet. And when I was first starting the Dallas the Special Wolf Alpha Team series SWAT, they're the Dallas SWAT team, and RT was in Dallas. And there was a cop patrolling the hotel, a Dallas cop, and I kept saying, we're sitting with my husband, and I said, we should go get him and see if he'll take a picture. And my husband's like, you should not. So I went to the men's room, and I said to Janet, let's go find him when Paul comes back out. And she's like, okay. So we had to hunt this cop down. We looked all over the hotel for him, and it turned out that he was actually on his break and he was having dinner in the restaurant. And so I'm like, too shy. I am kind of shy. You probably never know from this conversation, but I'm like, I don't want to ask him what if he says no. So she just marches right in there. And she, of course, thought I was with her, and I wasn't. I was outside the restaurant. And she's going on and on.
Oh,
yes. And, you know, and Paige raised the story, and they're werewolves, and they're cops, and they're Dallas SWAT team. And she turns around like, here she is. And I, of course, I wasn't there. And he looked like, really? And so she's like, she's not with behind me, is she? And he's like, no. But he did take the picture, and he was a really fun sport about it. So I was really, it was just that, I guess, would be the funniest story I could think of.
Yeah. Yeah, that would probably be me and Michelle Sandifer. I would be running off at the mouth, and Michelle would be somewhere hiding behind a palm or something. That's hilarious.
See?
So, okay. All right. Couple more questions. Where else can readers find you this year? Where else are you going to be?
We will be up at Lori Foster's Reader and Author Get Together in Cincinnati, well, Westchester, Ohio. It's right above Cincinnati in the first weekend in June, the first full weekend in June. So I think it's like the 9th to the 12th or something like that. And I'm trying to think, and then that would be where readers could find, actually at conferences, and of course always online and stuff.
Okay. And this hot cover that you have out for Wolf Rising, when can we expect that book to hit our bookshelf or our e-readers?
Okay, that is on pre-order now, so anybody can pre-order it now, but in ebook and print. But it hits shelves November 6th, and I am super, super excited about his book. I'm super excited.
And what's the name of that hot model that's on the cover? Ladies, go look at this book cover for Paige Tyler's Wolf Rising, releasing in November. What's his name, Paige?
You mean in the character or the real model?
No, the real model.
I'm thinking it's Michael, isn't it? Michael? I want to say Quick?
Yes.
Quick,
yes.
Oh, is that right, Michael? Okay, I know because I did friend him on Facebook.
Yes.
Like, is that his name? I'm like, yes.
All right. And then tell us about this character that he's playing in Wolf Rising.
Okay. So in Wolf Rising, his name is Jaden Brooks, and he is a werewolf on the Dallas SWAT team. And right now they have hunters hunting them while they're still doing their SWAT team work. And he happens to get a call for a sort of like a school shooter, but it's involving gangs. And he comes in to rescue the teacher. And the teacher's very angry to begin with because her brother, basically her whole family, got sucked into the gangs and she lost them. So she hates the gangs. She hates that they take the kids out of the schools. And she's very determined to stand up to them. But in the course of saving her, in our books, they aren't bitten to become werewolves. They have a gene that flips on if they're in a life-threatening situation. And it can even save their lives because sometimes, you know, they would have died otherwise and they turn into these werewolves. But it depends.
Yes.
What's going on at the time is how they turn into werewolves. So he's an alpha werewolf because he was a cop in, I want to say, I can't remember. Isn't that stupid? I wrote it. I can't remember. Alabama.
No, I had to say that.
Well, he was a cop, and he saved somebody's life, and he was almost killed, so it turned him into an alpha werewolf. But we also have beta werewolves who are really pack werewolves who love, I mean, they really, really love the closeness of the pack. But they were not in a traumatic situation where they could, they weren't saving someone's life, but it still turned them into a werewolf. So they didn't do anything that's sort of heroic. But we also have werewolves called omega werewolves, and omega werewolves.
Okay.
If they're very angry, an angry time in their life, or they're in a rage when something happens to them, they will become very angry, almost out of control werewolves. And it turns out that his love interest, the heroine, Selena, actually turns into this kind of werewolf, and he has to be able to save her almost from herself. So she's sort of very out of control werewolf in it. So we love to have our female alpha werewolves too. So you'll see, you know, we have female werewolves who are just as strong as the guys. But his character, I just love his character. He's so awesome, and I'm so excited for his book. And in fact, when my editor read it, our editor at Sourcebook, she was like, "Oh my God! I mean, I just love the book." She had no edits for it. She said it was like perfect, and it was just a very. She just loved it. She said, "I think the people are just gonna like totally fall for Brooks."
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Okay, readers, get Paige's Wolf Rising. If you've never read her X-Op series or her Dallas Fire and Rescue series, go out there to Romancelandia, download those books or order your books if you like them in print. So, again, we are here at Romantic Times. You can find Paige at the Cinema Craptastic tonight here Tuesday.
That's
She's
right.
doing the Sweet, Sweet, Sexy, Sassy party later this week. Plus, she has a panel on series, on writing series. Go ahead, Paige. I'm just talking about
I was going to say, I also have a squishable party, and we're giving away, if you know anything about me, you know I love plush toys, and I love squishables, and we're actually having a squishable party where we're going to give away squishables at this party, so you should totally come if you love squishables.
Yes, totally come if you love squishables. So Paige has a whole lot going on here this week at Romantic Times here in Reno, Nevada. Follow her online, Twitter, BookBub. And we'll be here all week. I want to thank you, Paige, for joining us on Women on Words. Readers, I'll be uploading this link later tonight, so you'll be able to listen to it and get to know best-selling New York Times best-selling author Paige Tyler a little bit better. Paige, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited that you asked.
All right. Let's see here. All right, so on Thursday, readers, we have author Blue Sapphire
here on Women on Words. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Until then, be well.
There
Yes.
How do you think it went wrong? Well?
It was just like, oh, yeah, that's totally the one you for LU. You know what I think you could do? I asked if people were listening.